Hey guys, let's just say I'm a new patient and I'm trying to book an appointment on your website, right? And so what I'm doing is I go onto your website and then I see, oh, the contact request or the book an appointment now button, right? And I book an appointment now. But what really happens after? Am I able to fill out my information, pick the time slot that I want, pick the doctor that I want, and so forth, and book that appointment online and it shows up within that second in your practice management software? Or are you just being sent an email request saying like, hey, Michael wanted to book an appointment. Make sure you give him a call to book it, right? Is that what really happens? Lots of dentists think that they offer online scheduling to their patients, but unfortunately, most of these dentists are wrong. They don't have online appointment scheduling. They have online appointment requests. And there's a huge, huge difference, guys. Most services that say they provide online scheduling are really just a glorified email to your front desk. Once you have that email request, you still have to reach out to the patient. And guess what, guys? If I'm booking an appointment online, that probably means I can't talk on the phone, right? So you're going to give me a call, and then you're going to leave a voicemail, and then maybe or maybe not, I might call you back. And why would you leave that up to chance, right? Don't leave it up to chance. There's a better way to do online scheduling, and it's called LocalMed. LocalMed is dentistry's first and only real online scheduling platform because their technology integrates directly with your practice management software. That means patients can see available appointments in real time and book them directly into your schedule, just like your front desk does, guys. This means no phone tag, no double booking, and no losing new patients to the dentist down the road. Patients see the time that they want, they click it, and they get it. Best of all, you stay in control. Patients can only book during times that you mark as available. They cannot get an appointment if you do not want them to have one. They can even fill out insurance forms as they schedule, streamlining the whole process for everyone. And guys, I'm sure you've seen the hundreds of dentists on social media who rave about LocalMed, right? They go to sleep and then the next morning they wake up and there's three new patients in the books because these new patients were able to book an appointment online at 12 a.m. because of a toothache or 11 p.m., right? Hundreds of dentists in our community have already tried it and love it, especially because the average LocalMed client gets a 33-to-1 return on their investment. That's amazing. That's the way online scheduling should be, guys. In fact, nothing else is really online scheduling. Try it for yourself today by visiting localmed.com. Tell them I sent you and get an exclusive deal, guys, just for you. So go to the show notes below, click on the LocalMed icon or the LocalMed link and tell them you heard them from the Dental Marketer podcast or tell them I sent you, Michael, and you guys will get an exclusive deal. What's up, Dr. Fam? How's it going, man?
Good, good. How are you?
Good, good. Hey, I have a quick question. How good friends are you with Andy?
We're pretty good friends. We talk like every day. Is he about to jump on the call?
Oh, snap.
Andy's supposed to come in.
What up, Andy?
Yo!
Hey,
Michael. Hugh. Michael was like, "Oh man."
Hugh, hey, Hugh. Andy told me to do that. He's like, "Let's test our friendship," and I'm like, "I don't know, man. That's not right." I'm just kidding. No,
he didn't say like, that. That's when you know you're a good friend when you can do that. But if we're not, we're like, "Oh man, you can't." Like, I'm scared.
I know. After that, what if he was like, "Oh no, we're not that cool, man. We're not that cool." And then, hey, Hugh, how's it going? No, man, that's cool, guys. That's cool. No, Hugh, this is gonna be like we're both gonna be grilling you.
Oh man.
No, we're not grilling. He missed out on the summit, man.
I know. I did.
Yeah, but we got into some deep conversations.
I saw that they almost forced you to break dance, and I was like, oh. And then nothing happened. And then I just stopped watching after that.
Man. I get shy when I get put on the spot like that.
Really? You're always put on the spot.
I know, that's the problem. I always get shy when it happens, though. You know, it doesn't change.
Anyways, guys, so. This is Dr. Hugh Pham and Dr. Andy Tran. They're both officially millionaires and own practices and are going to join together to open up DSOs all over the world. So gentle dental is what's it going to be, guys? What's the next thing you guys are going to do?
I don't know, man. Andy,
super,
the one
super that, gentle dental.
Super gentle dental.
Super gentle dental. Look out, man.
Super gentle.
Are we recording right now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Guys, we're recording already, by the way.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Dude, who's
Andy,
that?
Andy, are you working today?
Yeah. Yeah, did you just hear that? My bad.
Are you working right now?
Yeah. I literally just texted my my assistant. Can you please take as long as you possible so that consider our patient experience so I can be on this phone call?
Oh my god, man.
That's pretty tight. That's pretty cool. All right.
Dude, that's
all right.
Like literally the perks of being like a business owner. It's amazing. I love it. We hired someone else last night just to help out. And we're like, hey, you know what? Every time we hire someone, we should go out to eat. So we just went out to go chill and eat. It was awesome.
What did you hire? What position?
Dude, just his name is, well, whatever. He literally cleaned everything up. He's hanging stuff on, like things that if I tried to do, it would take me forever, or I just don't have time to do it. I literally don't.
Yeah.
I don't think it's on my top priority, so I just wanted to push it to someone else, and so I pushed it, and it just makes the whole office feel a little better because it's been super unorganized. It's been super clean. Dude, this isn't my podcast, Hugh. This is yours. I'm gonna stop talking.
Jeez, Andy. No, hey, no, really quick, Andy, are you on speakerphone or no?
No. Do I sound like it though?
You sound kind of echoey, dude. But that's just
damn it, dude. All right.
Yeah. I mean,
oh,
that's
snap!
Just how it is in the group.
He left. Let's try it again.
Hmm? What happened?
No, I said Andy left.
He probably went to go see his patient, man. That guy's crazy.
I know. Yeah. Hey, so Hugh. Well, he's gonna jump on right now. He just told me, but Hugh. How's everything, man?
Yeah. It's going good. This is month 6 now. Yeah, things are going good. We have a full-time hygienist. We're looking for a second assistant, and we're looking for an additional front desk right now. So, yeah, things are going good. I think Andy was kind of talking about what I'm going through right now, too. Just, like, there's just not enough time for everything, you know? So that's kind of what I'm struggling with right now, just, like, a good work-life balance. Hello?
Yeah.
Hey. Sorry.
Hey.
Yo, you just cut off Hugh, man.
Nah, it's cool, man. It's cool.
No.
It does every time we hang out.
I can never say anything.
No.
Dude, Hugh, you should tell him the story how we met, dude.
Yeah, all right. Here, let's do this. This is what we're going to do. Right. Hugh, how much time do you have, actually?
I've got some time. I mean...
Okay.
We got to interview somebody at 11, so that's the next time. You know, I have the next hour and a half.
Dude.
Okay, yeah, because this might be like an hour.
Every
or something.
Hour you're taking up his time is about $1,000 per hour. So just imagine every minute you're talking to Hugh right now.
That's
is like $50, dude. You gotta watch how long you're with him, Michael. Okay.
All right. Sorry, Hugh. Yeah. Sorry, Hugh. Let's get to the point. Really, let's just okay.
I should be paying Michael to be on this podcast.
Nah, man. Whatever. No. Awesome. No. So this awesome is what we're gonna do. This we need to know, like, okay, because Andy tells us, and I know too. Like, you're killing it, man. You're killing it with Atlas Dental, right? So talk to us first how you guys met, but then after that, talk to us like about your practice, where it's at. And then we'll just continue with questions like that. Sound good?
Sounds good. So me and Andy met at Breakaway. October 2017, I think. So that was my second time going to Breakaway. I went to Breakaway by myself, January 2016, and then I took my wife, October
You're married, bro?
2017, right when we were about to. Yeah.
Oh,
If you went to if you went to the Dental Success Summit, you would have met her.
Oh, man. Is she the from Jamaica?
Yeah, you
The
met
girl
her in
is it?
Jamaica. That's
Oh,
how you
okay,
met her.
yeah, okay, yeah, I know, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, so yeah, we met at Breakaway and we exchanged phone numbers and we just kept talking and yeah, so that's kind of how we met. And you know, we met again in Jamaica and then Dental Success Summit. And we've kind of just kept in touch, so yeah.
Andy's like that, huh? He's that guy where,
He
like,
knows
you'll talk.
everybody, man.
Yeah.
He
Andy,
knows
you know everyone somehow.
No, dude.
I was at the
No.
Dental Success Summit, and every 5 seconds, you know, we were trying to like go get food, and every 5 seconds, he would get stopped and like, you know, like
Andy,
it
here.
was crazy. He knew
Andy,
everybody in the
picture.
room.
Andy, kiss my baby.
No.
Okay, all right.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
Exaggeration.
Cool. That's cool.
No,
And then
that's not
both of
an
you guys,
exaggeration, dude. That's literally what it was.
wanted to start a practice. Y'all knew it or what?
Say that one more time.
Did both of you guys know you wanted to start a practice, or y'all were just attending Breakaway for funsies, or what was the deal?
Yeah, so I was before I found Breakaway, I was working at multiple jobs and just wasn't really happy with where I was at, you know. And I found I discovered Breakaway on Dentaltown actually. And you know, that's when it kind of clicked for me, just because like my background as a dancer and art creativity in general, like I wanted something more out of life, you know. Like I just like I wasn't happy being an associate. So doing a startup was always something that was, you know, your professors in school always say it's impossible to do. It's not really an option, right?
Really?
So for
Wow.
me, yeah. Just because of the fact that you start with zero patients, just because of the fact of the student loans that you have, and then just with corporate dentistry, it wasn't really an option for me until I found Breakaway. And Breakaway pretty much teaches you a blueprint from beginning to end on how to do one. So it was just nice for me to discover. And then over time, you know, I discovered your podcast, and I discovered, you know, Ashley Hovez, and I discovered Anissa Holmes, and I just started like mending everything together and making it my own, you know what I mean? So yeah, it kind of started with Breakaway.
It was all a
Yeah.
dream. Man, that's amazing, dude.
Yep.
Dude,
Yeah.
why did you not continue breakdancing? 'Cause like if anybody listening, if you
How do you know that I'm not breakdancing?
you are breakdancing. Like you've even competed in Red Bull, right? Like the Red Bull
Yeah.
okay, so here's the thing, guys. When we talk about Hugh's a breakdancer, B-boy, we're not like, oh, he can pop and lock at like, you know, a bar mitzvah and we've seen a video about it. Nah, man, he's like pro level, but he's a dentist. So
Thanks, man.
why
Appreciate
didn't
it.
you continue full time with breaking?
So I think breaking for me has always been like a huge passion. And I go through phases in my life, right? So I've been dancing since I was 12, and you know, it was something I did quite a bit in high school, then college hit, and then I kind of had to like reprioritize and reorganize, and then eventually, you know, it would come in phases. So it's like when I had midterms, I would stop dancing for a little bit, and then I would kind of plan like to go to this event after midterms, and then I would structure my practicing around my studying. So and the same thing happened when I entered dental school, you know, like priorities shifted and I had to reorganize my time. You know, I was still traveling. And I think the same thing's happening right now where prioritizing, you know, priorities are just shifting and I have to reorganize my time. And I haven't had the time to train just because there's like a billion things to do. I'm sure Andy's going through that right now as well. But, yeah, I mean, I judged the competition in California a couple of weeks ago, so I'm still, you know, I'm still active. It's just I'm not competing as much right now. So
Where in California?
It was in Orange County, actually.
Oh my gosh, that's like 30 minutes away from me. Thanks a lot for texting me, Hugh. Jeez, we could have gone like shared some chilies, some
we could have hung out.
Triple dipper appetizers. Jeez, man. But anyways,
I wish I could turn back time.
I know it's okay. But I wish I could hang out with you. What was I gonna say? What do you guys think about that? Like prioritizing? Because I hear two things. I hear like, hey. I don't know where the word priorities came from, because priority means one thing, right? Like you got to put that one thing first. There's no such thing as four things are my main thing. So how do you guys prioritize?
For me, it's like a constant struggle. There's just so much to do. It's been really hard. That's one of the things that I think is the hardest. I mean, I think it's a good problem to have, right? That means like, you have patients that you have to see, but for me, prioritizing my time is definitely a struggle. I feel like I just constantly want to be working on something, and the problem is I'm doing a lot of the stuff myself, so I have a lot of stuff to work on. So when I'm not seeing patients, there's something that I have to do, you know. So it's definitely something that I need to get better at, for sure.
Got you. What about you, Andy?
So I've struggled with that a lot. Recently, just going back to meditating and writing down gratitude thoughts, et cetera, has really helped. And then I have a couple of tools that help me realize and figure out where I want to be, where I want to go. And then cutting out the noise, but still understanding I have to do the noise, which is the hard part.
Yeah,
I like that.
Because there's so much noise, but you really got to do it in order to move on to the next step. But then to prioritize it is like you said, the devil's advocate, the devil's word.
Yeah, cut through the noise, but still dealing with the noise. Like, dude, that's so true.
Deep, man. That's deep.
I know. Calm down, Andy. Jeez, we're not at that level.
It's not even wise.
It's not even 15 minutes yet. It's only been 14 minutes. All right, so.
It's so true, though. It's so true.
That's true. You're right. Like, especially, one thing I've started trying to exercise on is, you know how, like, sometimes things just go bad? Like, you feel like, what the heck? Why me? Like, this is just not going right. I think about, like, okay, is it, because when you're in a negative state of mind, it seems like the world's against you, right? No matter what. So when I feel like the world is against me, I kind of stop and I'm like, all right, I have to think of at least just, or the max, or only three like blessings or three things that I'm thankful for. And if I can't, that means I'm in a negative state of mind. But if I can, then that means things are probably going pretty bad for me right now, right? So it's one or the other. And I feel like that's kind of working for me. You know what I mean? Because I feel like, man, I'm in a lot of negative state of mind sometimes. So I don't know. But, all right, so Hugh, where's your practice at, man? Talk to us about your practice.
So it is in Portland, Southeast Portland. It's in an area that is growing. And actually, when I told a lot of people where I wanted to do a startup, they thought I was crazy. The area is known as Felony Flats. So it's an area that, you know, is pretty low income. And it's an area that's growing. So it's, you know, they have built a lot of, the city's investing a lot of money into the space, into the area in general, just because, you know, Portland's growing in general. And the reason why I chose it was because I felt like the city was investing in making sure that everyone wasn't getting pushed out. There's been a lot of areas in Portland that have gotten gentrified, and they're trying to do this area differently, you know, like, there was a new Asian health center that was built around the same time that my space was built. You know, there's some low-income housing as well, just to help people not get pushed out. I wanted to just be in a space where I felt like I was needed, and also, like, to be able to treat working-class families in general, so... And there's not a lot of dentists in the area in general, just because of everything I just said.
I was gonna say, how much was your build out in total?
My build out total was around 250.
250, and how many ops?
So I have 5 plumbed, 4 equipped.
5 plumbed, 4 equipped. And you said they just built a center? What did they just build?
There's the Asian Health Center right across the street from me. So I volunteer with them every year. But I definitely want it to be, like right now, the dental side of their health, they have like a health fair every year.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
The dental side is just like a dental van where you just look at, you know, you just do exams and nothing happens. So something I wanted to do was to be able to offer free dental care every year. So like extractions, fillings, cleanings. So just a little bit more than what's being offered right now.
Gotcha. Talk to us about like the whole process of you building up your practice from like you getting the loan to like opening day. Like, how was that? Was it easy?
Oh man, it was a long process. Just because my location was not built yet. So the building wasn't built yet. This entire, mm-hmm. the entire like, block radius, there's a lot of changes, and you know, the building that I was going into was one of the changes. So it was actually a gas station before. So I expected to be in December 2017. That's when I expected to get started with construction, and I don't think it started until like June or July. Just the entire process, like looking for a space, was crazy. You know, when I started looking for a space, I was 2 years out of school, maybe 2.5 years, and I kept losing to restaurants, and I think it was because of the spaces I was looking at. But I was pretty picky with the spaces just because of just wanting the best space with the best visibility, best demographics. So I was pretty picky, so that probably contributed to it as well. But I looked for a very long time. The entire process was like a very long time in general. So
did Andy you lose out to anybody, or no, you got the space that you wanted from the very beginning?
What do you mean?
Like right now, you know how Hugh said he kept losing out to restaurants? Like, how does that feel? How does that feel to lose out to, like...
Dude, someone asked that.
I spent all this time researching the space, you know? And, like, some of them I would, like, have design ergonomics, design a block diagram, and then I would lose to a restaurant. It happened, like, 10 times to me.
What? 10 times?
Yeah. You know, I'm not even joking. It happened a lot.
I feel like mega discouraged. I'd be like, all right, it's the universe telling me, like, yeah. Do something else.
Open up a restaurant.
Open up a restaurant, I guess.
Yeah.
Did you, Andy, lose out to anybody, or no? You just, the first place you got.
Nah, dude, come on. That's like, dude, the first one I wanted to buy was like, I lost because they thought I was just too young. Like, I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah.
What? Y'all got
They're
that
like,
a lot?
Dude, you're too young. We don't feel comfortable. And I'm like, what? Like, I have money.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean? Like,
start throwing money at them. Just ageism.
It's like if you're going to a store and you're like, oh, I wanna buy this computer, and they're like, no. And I'm like, what?
Young.
Like, what about cash? And they're like, no, you're too young to have this. Like,
no, I felt the same way. I felt the same way. Like, it kept happening. It was the same reason.
Wow. How, if you don't mind me asking, how old are you guys?
I'm 52.
Okay, 52.
31.
I was like, man, that, what is that saying that goes? Asian don't raisin or something like that? Like, that's true, man. That's true. 51? Holy crap.
True, man.
Y'all at the same age? You too, Andy, or no?
I'm 28.
Okay, cool. Dang, so they thought you were too young? Man, what do you tell them then when that happens?
I think it was a combination of things. I think it was just like the fact that, like, because they asked for your, they asked for, like, your assets. Obviously, I have student loans, and that's really all I have, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And they asked for, like, they just asked for, like, random information, so... Yeah, I don't know if it's like necessarily age. It might be the fact that, you know, you don't have any positive assets, right?
That's true.
I think that might be it. Like, just collateral for, like a backup plan. Like, just seeing that you came out of school, like, within 2 years, things like that. So, mm-hmm. I think it's more that.
Gotcha. Okay. That's good.
But probably also age, too.
Yeah. So, how many times did you try, Andy, until you got this
case? Dude, I didn't even want to keep count. There was just too many. Honestly, after a while, you're like, okay, whatever. Like, I'm going to find the next one. Like, it's not, to me, as of right now, even though I'm not even old or I know a lot, it's literally, like, not a big deal. Like, there's so many other things that you can worry about and, like, feel stressed over or feel sad about. Like, it's just I don't know, dude. It's just like, okay, I put some time in, it didn't work. Like, let's move on. Like,
honestly, man, I felt like every time I put in a letter of intent, it was almost like an application to dental school. It was like a waiting game. Like, you put in all this effort, right? Like, to make sure that the visibility is good, like the demographics is good, and then boom, you get hit with sorry, you lost their restaurant, or you're too young. Like, it happened to me so many times.
Dude, man, you lost to a Chili's. Oh, well, it's okay. What's Andy?
There was one time when the landlord just was, like, on vacation too long. Like, I'll be sitting by my waiting a minute. Dude, and I'm like, dude, I really want your space. And my realtor would be like, yeah, we really want your space. And the landlord's like, I'll be back in a week. I'm in Jamaica or whatever. And we're like, dude, how the hell are you a business owner? This guy must be so loaded, he did not care. Like, he's still... Sometimes I cross by that spot, I drive by, I'm like, dude, I could have been here. But this landlord was just always on vacation. But whatever, dude. Like,
but you guys got good spots, right? Would you say, like, your demographics, both of y'all's demographics are good?
Yeah, I'm very happy with the location that I ended up in.
So there's a... I'm not... So, to me, there's always, like, the cool factor in saying I work and my office is in, quote-unquote, Austin, right? Like, that's super, like, yeah, I'm in Austin, but mine technically is, like, outside of Austin. It's, like, suburbs. It's almost, in my specific city, is it, like, considered almost rural? Like, that's 30 minutes out of the city is rural. So that one part, that little part of me was like, damn it, I wanted to be in Austin. But, like, looking at my numbers and looking where we're growing and looking where we're going to be in the future, which is what we talked about, and Linda and I had multiple conversations about this, it's more than just being cool. It's more than just being like, oh, I want to be in Austin, aka Austin. It's different for us. And for one of the main things was, how fast can we break even? So if we ever, and how fast can we technically profit enough that if we ever wanted to live or have another office in Austin, it would be a no-brainer. Does them, you know, that's that's the mind shift that I needed to have. And sometimes it still battles with me when people are like, oh, you're in, like, suburbs, or you're like, you're not even Austin. And I'm like, yeah, that's cool, whatever.
Yeah, I don't think that's a... I don't know. Oh, yeah, you're right, yeah. It's such an important
decision, you know, like, choosing the right location. It's so important. Like, you can't just choose based on, I want to be in Austin, right? Like, I'm sure you have no regrets, right, Andy? I mean...
No, definitely, because, like, I don't know how others are doing in Austin, but I know for the money that I've spent on, like, marketing and or the not money I'm spending on marketing and, like, everything else, I've been so happy, you know, like, because I know I've been more stressed out, and I know, I don't know, it's just a whole different, like, that's a whole nother conversation, but I'm super happy I picked this location. Dude, the landlord, remember when I talked to you, Hugh?
Yeah.
Let's give me, like, 2 minutes on this. So the developer of the land, who owns, like, 100 acres around this area, was like, hey, he messaged me one day, and the next day he came by with a bunch of his investors and was like,
do you want to take the space next door? We want you guys to really take it. We'll give you free rent. We'll up your TI to like $80. We're gonna instead of going to the bank, we'll finance you. So you don't even have to go to the bank. Like, wow. And I've been like having multiple conversations with different people. And it seems like I branched it into like people that are high risk, high reward. I talked to some bankers. I talked to some people that have like gigantic offices, 6,000 square foot offices. And they're like, dude, you're going to be paying rent for maybe 2 to 3 years for that extra space that you're not going to use and build out. But when you need it, you're going to have it and you won't regret it, because you're going to make like each chair is X thousands of dollars. So you, and then the other side, the other half of it is like, nah, dude, like, once you make that much, you can just buy another place, or you can move somewhere. So I'm still like debating, but it's very interesting, because it was like too good of an offer. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I don't know, man. Like, to the listeners, what would you guys do? That'd be interesting to see, because that is a good offer.
I think it depends on the person.
Yeah, it depends on you, Andy. Like, deep down, and with you and Linda, what do you feel like? Like, if it was just you didn't have to ask anybody, you have to think about it right now. Go.
I would say yes. Linda would say no. But it literally depends on the details. You know, like, if his rate of giving us money was like 4 or 5%, no brainer. Like, I'll pay rent for whatever. We won't be making money for a very long time. But when we do, it's going to just skyrocket. But
you can probably negotiate with him.
Yeah, dude.
I'm like high risk, high reward type guy. Because my imagination is that this is, it's not, so I don't want to like, okay, I'll just say it. It's not hard to get patients in and to get the ball rolling. Mm-hmm. It's only going to be time for you and I to be like running at full capacity. Honestly, like, that's what I think.
He was like, I'm already running at full capacity.
But like, the next question is like, what happens after that? Like,
yeah, no, that's totally true.
So
dude,
to me, like, there are some dentists that don't have that mindset or that capacity to even fill that up. But I think if you, I don't know what it is, but once it's filled, like, what is the next goal? What is the next thing? What if your bank account was filled? Like, you still need a 8 to whatever 5 job. Like, what would you, will I still be in here? Why not?
That's like something I think, like, honestly, like, you can kill yourself just thinking about that, man. Like, let future Andy worry about that. Right now, you got to worry about like the almost immediate future to like the 5-10 year, right? I would, that's me. That's just me. You can tell me I'm wrong. I probably am wrong. I don't know. But I would just say, like, hey, man, like, things will change, right? Maybe 5-10 years. I don't know. Something might happen to you, something where you're like, crap, my attention has to be focused on this now, right? I don't know.
Yeah, that's, I think it's hard. It's hard because, it's like, so for Andy, you have 8 ops, right? Plumbed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's like, for me, I feel like there's 2 ways that you can think about this, right? Like, you can go all the way to full capacity at 8 ops, and then you can figure out what you want to do from there, right? It could be just like relaxing on the beach all the time with Linda, or you could work a little harder and have those extra ops, right? So it's kind of like what you want out of life. And Michael, me and Andy actually talked about this kind of thing. We talked about it at the Dental Success Summit. It's like, what do you want? You know what I mean?
Ooh, so what do you guys want then?
For me, like, you know, I initially, when I built everything, I was scared, you know, like, that's why I have 5 operatories, to lower like the rent, and to lower like the construction costs, and to lower my, you know, my risk. I was just scared. I didn't know what was going to happen. Maybe I would only have 0 patients for the next 6 months. You know what I mean? Like, I was scared. And, I think it's different once you see the ball rolling, like, like for me, like I kind of like looking back, I wish I did 6 operatories just so that there was a little bit of extra capacity, because eventually I am going to run into a capacity issue, and it's going to be like, what am I going to do once that happens? Right. Like, because right now I have a space next door to me as well that is vacant. So it's like, do I want to approach them and see if I can build out a little bit more, or, you know, just keep things the way that they are? For me, I see myself working 3 clinical days and maybe a 4th, you know, admin day. And I want to teach, you know, like that's something that I feel like I would really want to do, like maybe go back to the dental school and volunteer my time. Maybe me and Andy have talked about going on like mission trips, you know what I mean? Like, so I've been on a mission trip to Vietnam, and it's something that I want to do. It's fun. So maybe things like that. And
that's nice. I don't know,
just a good work-life balance. And that's something that I'm working towards right now. And it's something that I'm struggling with right now because there's so much to do, but
yeah. What about you, Andy? What's the, like, what were you guys talking? What was your suggestions, or what was your thing?
Just, do you know that Burning Man tickets are coming out today?
He's like, that. Hey, wait, Andy, we did talk about this. Remember? Didn't you say you wanted to do something?
Yeah, this is exactly. Yeah, dude, it's coming out today. I'm literally.
Not that, man.
Are you getting it?
What?
Because were you listening to Hugh?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. What was your thing besides Burning Man?
That's his thing, man. That's his thing.
Wait,
that's
time
my
out.
Thing.
Are you really going to get the tickets right now?
Well, it drops for me. It's going to be dropping at 1, I think. So in a few hours. Oh. But, like, to me, that's literally what one of the, like, the quirky answers for what you asked. I literally want to be able to do to drop whenever I want to drop and just leave and do something and then come back and still be able to work, if that makes any sense.
No, it does, dude. That does. 100%.
I want to be able to, like, literally walk in and just be like, oh, like, hi, how are you doing? I'm Dr. Andy Tran. Would you like to come back? So we're going to take them back, and they're going to need, like, 3 implants, a couple crowns or whatever, and I'll be like, okay, here's how much you got to pay, and I'm going to rip it up and be like, because I'm here today and because you're my patient, everything's free. That's literally what I would want. And then they'll be like, oh, wow, dude, like, this is amazing. Like, I don't know. I just want, like, she wants the jackpot to be at the right time, to be at the right spot, and to see me at the right time. And I just want to be able to do that and then not care about anything else.
What if somebody writes a review and they're like, guys, y'all need to be here when Andy's here. That way we can all get free treatment. And then everybody reschedules until you come in.
Oh, man, that would be so awesome. No, That would be awesome.
Like, that's like that would be one of it. That would just be so awesome. And another part is, like, I really want to implement this mission trip this year. Like, I know it's hard. Yeah. I know it sucks. I know it's expensive. I know all of this. But it would be so cool to just start off first year and then keep going where this is the office where we really give back to people we think are in need. And sometimes it's in America and sometimes it's not. And mix that in with eventually whenever I have kids to have them come and help and to have them to really, because literally every time I've been to a third world country or anywhere that's not as amazing or as lucky as America, it makes me grounded. It makes me feel like, oh, wow, this is life. We're literally 1% because we're in America already, just period. But then to realize that when you're helping and you're giving back and you're living in, like, under, like, it's just awesome. So it would be nice to have that incorporated into the business and / into life, into just your whole, this is who you are. This is your legacy.
Dude.
Right.
That's good, man. I like that. I'm going to have to change gears here for a bit because I want to ask. I want to ask you, are you breaking even, man, or no?
Yes.
Oh, snap. So when did that happen?
So it happened. So production-wise, it happened the first month. And then collections-wise, it happened the second month. But I kept my break-even point really low. And we started paying ourselves in February.
When'd you open?
In last week of October.
October, November, December, January, February. Dang, 5 months. If you don't mind me asking, what was your break-even number?
Yeah, so the first month, it was like 10,000, and it was because I kept I did a lot of stuff myself. It was the way that I structured everything. Like, the bank loan was 16 months interest only with Bank of America, and then I had 4 months of free rent, and they actually didn't start it until this month.
What? So, wow, man.
Yeah, so I had to prepay like the first month of rent, like when we first signed the lease, but that was like a year and a half ago. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
so yeah, I mean, and then they're just, my landlord is just super nice. So we didn't start the countdown until like November. And so, yeah.
Dang, dude, that's really good. And then right now how many employees do you have then in total? Because you said you were doing a lot of things on your own.
Like right now or like?
Yeah, right now. Right now.
Now we have a hygienist. We have, my wife works at the front, and she does like everything at the front. We have a part-time receptionist, and I have one assistant, and I have a part-time assistant that comes when we need them, but mm-hmm. I need a second, like, full-time assistant right now.
How did you hire the other employees besides, obviously, your wife? And then, how are you going to hire this full-time assistant?
Man, hiring is tough. Like, I actually, the Dental Success Summit, actually, they released this this hiring CE that I want to watch before. Well, actually, I can't watch it before my next interview, but it's hard. It's just like,
you
just,
sorry, man.
It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's just like, I don't know, like, you know, like, we just, yeah, we have like a list of, like, I actually got all the stuff from like a breakaway handout, but just having a list of questions and like, you know, like, I would just post on Indeed and Facebook and like the social media. All the people we've had so far has actually been referral from friends though. So just for me, like, just being in the dance community and knowing a lot of people in Portland, like, I've been fortunate to just been like able to reach out to people and you know, like, they'll refer people. But I'm having trouble finding a second assistant right now. There's a shortage in Oregon.
So. Gotcha. Yeah, that's what people have been, yeah. When I've been jumping on interviews, they've been telling me that, like, there's a shortage of, like, just, they have options, like, so many options now, assistants. They're just like, I don't feel like showing up or whatever. And it just,
yeah,
just happens. I don't know. So,
yeah.
Right now, could you tell us what your production and collection was maybe like a month ago, 2 months ago? How did that get there?
So last month, I think the production was somewhere around 50,000, and collections was around 36,000. We're doing a lot of monthly payments, so I think that's kind of like the, you know, the discrepancy. But also, I've talked to Andy about this a lot, but like, because my wife is doing everything, the claims is a little bit further behind. Like, claims processing is a little bit further behind than we would like. But I think for me, like, having the break-even point low has been beneficial because, you know, I feel like I'm like a slower dentist too. So doing the startup has actually worked out pretty well because I've been able to control my break-even point.
Yeah. That's good.
So,
I have a question about that, because really quick, Andy, does Linda work for you too?
Linda's working remotely. Like, today, she's not even at the office.
I know, but does she work at your...
Year.
Okay, so I wanted to know, like, just for me too, and just people who have spouses that work for them. Like Vivek, right? Vivek's another one, other people. How do you... how do I put this? Like, if you feel like, okay, this person's performing well, oh, but this person's not performing well. Who is this? Oh, it's my wife.
Like, fired.
Like, how do you guys, what is your protocol for that? What do you guys do? Because you can't treat them like a regular, you know what I mean? Like, I'm going to need to talk with you. No, you can't. I don't know. Can you? I don't know. What do you do?
I literally did that. I literally did that to Linda. Like, I literally treat her like an employee, but understanding she's also my business partner, and then also understanding she's my love partner or my almost wife. It's like she called me Dr. Andy at the office.
Yeah.
Like, there has to be a professional level. But at the same time, like, everyone says, like, if you're not performing at the level of your position, like, either leave or we're going to find someone else. Like, that's just how it works.
But then, you kind of have to take that home, though. You can't just come home like, just kidding. You know what I mean? Like, it's, how do you not take it home? How do you ask them, like, hey... And this is, even if, like, let's just say, for example, if it's a wife who's the doctor and the husband's the front or something, how do you say, like, dude, you screwed up. Like, you need to do better or whatever, right? Like, how do you – such a slippery slope.
So I'm pretty blunt. I think he would have a better answer, but I'd just be like, hey, geez, like, what's going on? What? Why is this happening? But that's our relationship.
That's good, though, man.
Clown on her, and she gets a clown on me. And we're super blunt and open with each other because we got to that level where we understand that they're sugarcoating it doesn't always help.
Yeah. Does it, when you're blunt though, how is the, is there tension after, later throughout the day, the rest of the day? How does that work?
So to me, maybe it's also my personality. It takes like 5 minutes for me to understand it was my fault. I messed up. I should have done X, Y, and Z. Give me like 5 minutes of quiet, and then we're fine. I'm normal.
Okay.
So that's my personality. Sometimes Linda needs a little more time, and she'll let me know. We'll hug it out, and then we move on. Like, how long are you going to hold a grudge? Are you going to...
Yeah, dude. Cuddles heal, like, man. Cuddles heal.
That's just us. Yeah, it's just feelings are just emotions that could come and go even by you thinking about it. So think about good stuff or whatever it is. Like, this is all like a Tony Robbins thing now, so I don't want to. It's totally different.
No, that's good, man. I like that. Feelings are emotions that just come. That's true. Like, anger is just energy that you need to direct somewhere else or use it for determination or whatever. What about you, Hugh? What do you do?
I mean, most of the time, you know, she, like, because we're business partners, because she has, like, skin in the game, right? Like, I feel like she's working her hardest. I mean, if there's, like, an issue, we'll talk about it. I won't ever really, like, yell at her, though, you know? I don't know. Like, for me, like, it's just, there's just so, like, we're understaffed in the front and the back right now, and there's just so much to do in general. I just appreciate her in general, you know what I mean? Like, I couldn't do this without her. I don't know how, honestly, this is bad. I've talked to Andy about this, but I don't know how to do claims processing. That's something I feel like I need to learn how to do, right? Like, there's a lot of stuff that she can do that, like, I don't know how to do because I feel like I don't have the time to do it. It's just like, I'm spending my time, obviously, seeing patients, but also, like, you know, I enjoy doing the marketing stuff. So, like, I'm doing the marketing stuff, right? There's just no mental space to even figure out how to do claims processing because there's so much on my to-do list. So I don't know. Like, it's, I think we need to, in general, there's a lot of stuff to work on still. I don't know. Like, we've never really gotten into like an argument or anything. I mean, there's definitely been ups and downs, obviously, but we've never really gotten into like a crazy argument where you know, I have to like, that doesn't really happen.
I don't think it should be like a crazy argument. I'm just being like, you know, sometimes I don't know if it's just because like we're, this is just the employees or whatever, but just like sometimes you're like, okay, I just need to get this done. Like, can we get this done so we can, but I don't know. Here's the thing I want to ask. What's the best advice that you want to give then to like our listeners as far as when it comes to that? If they hire, if their spouse works for them, what do you think is something that you've learned throughout this process that you want to give to the listener? This is both of you guys. Question for both of you guys.
I've learned that date night really helps.
Yeah. Agree.
He's like, yeah, I'll take that one. I'm just kidding.
That's one thing that I need to get better at, for sure.
Yeah, but that's like in relationships, though. That's not like in the business aspect. You know what I mean? Like date night, like that's just, you need that for you time and not talking about the business. Like that's just, I'm talking about like in the business. You know what I mean? Like what in the business do you recommend? Like let's just say performance isn't really well, or maybe something was misunderstood. Like how do you, what do you recommend in that scenario in the business space?
I mean, we just try to talk about it. Like if there's something that, like if she schedules something wrong, you know, like I'll suck it up and do it, but then I'll tell her, hey, can you not do this again? You know, like, so I think constant communication is definitely key. Like, especially if like someone's working in the front and someone's working in the back, you're not going to be able to talk as much on a regular basis. So you got to make sure to make that time to discuss things like when it happens versus like letting things build up. So I hope that was the answer you were looking for. But
gotcha. Yeah. What about you, Andy?
I think it's having meetings and understanding our goals for the business and how we're going to get there together and why we're not going to get there or what happened to make us not get there.
Okay.
Just being open with each other. It's, it's just a whole, so it's like, I feel like you just asked like, how do you become a good leader? And there's like, an hour of conversation about that. So it's like, this isn't it. Like, I don't know how to like dial down to simplify like how to work with your mate in tough conversations or tough situations.
Yeah, that's what I was asking. Pretty much.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
Just be open, crucial conversation. I don't know. Like, I don't know how to like dial down.
Dude, you gotta learn how to dial down.
Yeah. I think you're right, though. Like, in general, I just think, like, just being in a startup for 6 months, things are constantly changing, and it's so important that a new patient experiences an amazing experience, right? So having regular meetings is definitely something that I think is extremely beneficial, not just, like, for your significant other, but for the entire team. But as far as your significant other, I mean, we're constantly talking about things, you know? I think it's just constantly just make sure to check in regularly about things. Like it's exactly what you said, Andy, like having meetings. If there's something that goes wrong, just talk to them about it before things blow up. So
got you right now, Hugh. What's been your best ROI?
Best ROI for me, I would say is internal referrals. So I've been telling people this, but I feel like the hardest part with a startup is not having an existing patient base, because the best, like sometimes like you'll get a patient, you know, and they don't know anything about you, right? Well, if you're doing social media stuff, they do know something about you. And then you want to continue to generate that. So what I do is I ask every single patient, like obviously they need to have an amazing experience, but then I ask them to write us a review because we're new, and I ask them to refer their friends and family, you know, and that's something that costs $0. It's more about their experience. And when the patient comes, when they refer their friend and family and their friend and family comes in, that's going to be more powerful than if they saw you on a direct mail or an ad, right? So to me, I think the best ROI has been like building an amazing patient experience and just asking, you know, the patient that comes in for referrals and reviews.
How do you do that? Like, do you just ask randomly, or are you just...
Yeah, so
at the end of the appointment, you know, I like, I try to have a good experience for every single patient, but yeah, I ask every single patient if I can. It doesn't happen every single time, but yeah, I try to. And then now, because I have a hygienist, I talk to her about like asking as well. And yeah, I just ask, I just straight up ask.
Like a script, like you're just like, hey, do you have any friends or family?
I have a script that I go through, yeah. Yeah.
What is it, man?
So I'm always just like, you know, hey, how was your appointment today? And normally they say good. They don't ever say it was bad. Like,
yeah.
Because I'm trying to make it good, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then I say, well, was there anything that could have been better? And then normally they say, no, everything was good. Every once in a while, somebody will go off on something, you know, but yeah, when I ask that, I think it opens up the conversation to, they know that, you know, like I want to improve. So at that point I say, oh, well, if you have any friends and family that need a dentist, definitely send them our way. This is our 6 month open. So we're pretty new. And then if you had a good experience writing us a review, would really help us grow as well. So I'm just super genuine, you know, like I'm not
like that. Yeah.
I'm not forceful. So, and I feel like, so I'm using legwork, I don't know if like the legwork really helps or if it's just me the way I'm asking, but sometimes patients will write a review like a week later or something. So, it's definitely something I feel like has been, pretty helpful for me. I was really nervous about doing it in the beginning. It was really awkward, but now it's just like, I just do it. It's normal now.
Yeah. So. I like that though. I like how, you're open about like, hey man, we've been open for 6 months and we're trying to grow, right? Like you're not just like, we're super packed and, we're busy. So thank you. Make sure they call soon or else we're not going to be able to schedule them. Right. Like I hear that all the time and I'm like, I don't know if you should say that. Like you're lying. Like
yeah.
Your schedule's pretty empty, but I don't know, man. Right now.
I think also like, I think also like investing in a good brand is really important as well.
Yeah, so not just talk like, to us about that. Talk to us like about your logo. Brand. Because I know like
I mean,
you...
I'm sure...
Uh-huh.
I mean, I'm sure you know the importance of branding, right? Like I've seen like the new branding that you've gotten done and everything. Like it's important. Like I feel like a brand tells your story, not from just when they meet you, but before they even meet you, right? Like the website and like... The social media is part of your brand. Like them seeing your logo when they drive past is your brand. Like it's so much more than just like one simple logo. So yeah. I spent a lot of time developing my brand.
That's good, man. That's really good. Right now you said the referrals is what's getting you, you know, the best ROI. So how many new patients are you getting monthly?
It fluctuates. So, last month it was 55.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. So actually the first month we were open, it was 66. And then nice. I saw a dip just because, you know, we weren't able to, I probably could have opened more days, but we weren't able to. So like what happens is like, it'll be 66 and then it'll be 45 and then 62 and then 30. So I kept like, I was very, like, I'm very risk. I'm like scared of, you know, I try to not take as many risks. And I think that's one problem. Like I didn't hire fast enough. So we would hit capacity and then we would jump back up and then we would hit capacity again. So, yeah, I think I needed like to go back. Like if I was to go back, I probably would have hired like more employees sooner.
Gotcha. To you, what's been the worst ROI?
Probably doing stuff myself just because I think it not necessarily like ROI as in like, you know, patients coming in and money, but just like time. Just wanting to do everything myself has been, you know, like it's something that I talked to Andy about this yesterday, actually. Like, I think it's hard for me to get let go of things because I want to be in full control of my brand. And that's the reason why I did a startup, right? I like the creativity aspect of a startup. Like, I like being able to control all of that, and I think that's probably the worst part. Like I need to just delegate things so that, and obviously it'll be less stressful when I start doing that, but it's really hard.
Dang, man. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I'll be
it's
able
like
to
so
dance
hard.
More, you know, I'll be able to dance more if I start delegating.
That's true. Hey, who does your videos, man, for that? Because I even shared them on my page because I'm like, damn, this is tight. Like, people need to see this. Who does that?
Which video are you talking about?
I know there was one where, like, one of them I shared was where it was, like, during construction phase, and you were, like, dancing throughout the whole construction phase. And then after that, it started, like, towards maybe, like, the last 5 to 10 seconds, it was you with the practice, like, open, you know what I mean? And you seeing a patient.
Yeah. So there's two different people. The one that you're talking about where the practice is open, it's actually my friend that's an orthodontist. And he enjoys doing video as well. So he wanted to just create something with me. And I was like, hey, you know, that'll be beneficial for me. So, yeah, let's do it. So it's my orthodontist friend that does video. The other one that you saw where it was just me, like, dancing in the space when it was under construction. Mm-hmm. It's another friend of mine that she's still working on the video, actually. So it's another video that's going to be released pretty soon. But it's more, I think the one with the orthodontist was more like for fun, you know?
Yeah.
The one that my other friend is working on is going to be more about like the office itself. And so I think it's going to be like more interview based and more of your traditional like dental office video, but hopefully a little different with some dancing, you know?
Got you. Right now.
Just some friends.
Yeah. Right now, how's your treatment closing rate?
I think it's actually, I'm like surprised at how high it is. Because I think it's because of my wife. She's like, you know, she's like a really nice person. And we try to structure things where things make sense. We phase out treatment. So I think, yeah, it's something that I've actually been very surprised at. Yeah, it's been pretty high.
It's been pretty high? Do you guys have like a specific script for it? Or would you say it's more like, the personality, you just got to have that personality to close it?
I think it's like just like from beginning to end, the way that patients experience the office, you know, and just like the way that, like, so I break down treatment, and it's something that I picked up from Breakaway as well, just like phasing urgent, preventative, cosmetic, and just breaking it down for them. They actually, patients have really enjoyed me breaking it down. Like, some of it's actually in my reviews as well. So I like doing that because then they can kind of see, you know, if it's urgent, that means like it needs to get done. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I think that's really helped. And that's not something that I've been doing since day one. It's something I started implementing like 2 or 3 months ago. But in general, I think, you know, I try to be empathetic and just really help the patient understand like the importance of the things that need to get done. And if it's something that is not as important, then I'll be honest with them. You know what I mean? And I'll like having intraoral cameras really help.
Mm-hmm.
I think everything that I'm doing in general, like the intraoral cameras and just showing the x-rays and, you know, and just having my wife do the treatment plan presentation has been good too. So
that's good, man.
And then just
that's
having good. Like having flexible payment plans as well has been helpful.
You have what, care credit and compassionate finance, or how do you do that?
I mean, we do care credit. We also use Lending Club, but we also do monthly payments. So you can do like, so it's like compassionate finance, except I'm just doing it. Again, this is a delegation thing. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I need to, but it's something that my wife's doing. So, so we just do like a down payment and then 6 months in house. And then if they want more, then it's something that they need to go through care credit or Lending Club.
And you're not a fee for service, are you, or are you?
I'm not. So okay, just like Andrew PPO, we see some patients that are cash patients. We have a membership plan. So yeah.
But then yeah, just a heads up, man. Andy went to go see a patient.
So yeah, no, like, that's fine.
He's like, I'm a bit on mute right now, so I was like, all right, man, sounds cool.
I couldn't do an interview and see patients.
I know, man. And he's cool though, man. That's cool. That's cool. He does that.
No, he's awesome. Yeah,
Right
glad
now,
I met him.
You're like glad I'm. Right now, what would you say has been your biggest fail or pitfall when it comes to this whole process, from now to when you decided to start, like, sign an agreement to like, yeah, I think I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna start a practice, like, personally and in the business, like, what's to you has been like the biggest struggle or the biggest failure pitfall that you want to share?
for sure it's a work-life balance. I just feel like it's something I've just been talking about nonstop with anybody that's been asking me how things are going. I think I was so scared of failure. I was so scared of having zero patients a month. I was so scared of not being able to break even, that I'm just working super hard to make sure that doesn't happen. You know what I mean? And, and it's just, that's the hardest part. Like I said, like in an ideal world, I would want to be, you know, having some days where I can just go and dance. That's something that's lacking in my life right now. And it's such a big part of my life. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it's more about reprioritizing right now. It's just, it's hard for me to be able to dance right now because there's always something to do. You know what I mean? But yeah, for me, I think the hardest part about doing a startup is having a work-life balance and making sure you have that work-life balance. It's so important, right? Like,
yeah. I remember I read in a book, I forgot where they said, like, I'm pretty sure you've heard of it. Like, us looking for balance is just going to cause us more stress. You need to understand that there's seasons. Some seasons you're going to work insanely hard and put all the grit, and then some seasons you're not, right? You're just going to enjoy life. But as when you come to understand that there's seasons, instead of like trying your whole life to accumulate a balance, then you kind of gain more equilibrium, right? Or equilibrium. I don't know how true that is, though. What do you think? Do you feel like maybe that might make sense? Like, maybe we should just, you do need to go through seasons. Like in a startup phase, yeah, you do have to put in all the grit as much as you can. But I mean, there's only so much, like we live in an era where there's like that thing called hustle porn, right? Where it's like, dang, everything Gary Vee says and everybody, like, you got to hustle the rest of your life and work forever. But like, what are you doing it for, right? Do we forget that reason? Or I don't know. Like, what are your thoughts on that, man?
No, I agree with you. I think it is something where you have to go through seasons, and you know, regardless of everyone says a startup is hard, right? They all say like it's gonna take you forever to break even, and it's something that like, you know, I take to heart every time someone says that to me, and I try my best to, you know, just kind of structure everything where there's less risk, and that's the reason why I've made all the decisions I've made. But yeah, I agree with you. Like, it's going to be hard work. Like, it's going to be hard work for, you know, I mean, I've only been in it for 6 months, and it's been hard work the entire 6 months, you know, and it's something that, that I'm willing to work hard, right? Like, I don't want, like I said, my fear is that I don't break even next month, or I, all of a sudden, like, don't have the new patient flow that I need to have. So because of that fear, I'm constantly just like I'm constantly working on things that I need to work on. But I think it's important to just take a step back and enjoy life a little bit, right? And to make time for your passions. So for me, that's something that I've been talking about this, and you know, for the past few weeks, and it's something that I want to get back into. So I actually have a competition I want to enter in the summer. So I just need to get back to it.
That's good, dude. That's good. So it's kind of like, It kind of boils down to like, if you think about it, it kind of just boils down to certainty, right? Like if you knew there's certainty next month or next year, you'll have, you know, this amount of new patients, you'll be past break-even point, then you'd be more at ease, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I think that's the fun part of doing a startup. And I think you need to be a specific person to do a startup. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's definitely not easy. Like, I don't think it's easy. Like, it definitely takes grit. Like, you have to be willing to like do put in the work, right? Like, you need to be willing to do the ground marketing. You need to be willing to put yourself out there. You need to be like, one thing that I remember hearing Mark Costa say in one of his podcasts that I really took to heart is like, if you want to do a startup, you have to be willing to run for president. Right. So I think that's like, yeah, no, I took that to heart. And I think it's so true. Like, you can't just like do a startup and expect the patients to come. You can't just hang up a shingle and expect the patients to come. Like, you have to put in the work.
That's not how it works, you can't just open the door. Dang, and then, like, expectations to walk in. It's not like magic.
No, man.
But, hey, you know what, though? Sometimes I can open my doors, but then I have, like, a support group or Facebook group that I can, like, talk about emotions, and then everyone will support me, and I'll feel better. But I won't, like, I would just imagine that that emotional support will mean patients will then come in.
There's money in my bank. To, like,
yeah, it's that. It's just, that's how it works, right?
Here? I'm paid in full with love. Oh, man. That's funny, man. I don't know, man. That's true.
But it's like, if it was, so the first thing is, if it was easy, everyone would do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's obviously, if you played 100 hands of blackjack, and you won 99 of them, would you play? I would play.
Yes.
For sure. And why do you think the banks have been giving dentists, like, money after just 1 year working in a as a dentist? Because they did the math, dude. But you can't still, like, it'll still take you a while to be profitable and stuff, but you'll still be open. And you'll still be okay. You might make a ton of mistakes before. Even if you didn't take the courses in the class and talk to the people and you just had no idea what you're doing, open your office with almost no money and you'll still be okay eventually. It's not like a real startup. Like, imagine if you can go, sorry.
No, keep going.
It's like, imagine if you're like trying to get yourself in the door with ground marketing like Michael. Like, there's no coach. There's no, like, Jamie Amos that will help you. There's no, like, steps. There's no Facebook groups that would, like, there's nobody to, like, be like, oh, this is what you do to get your foot into ground marketing as in the dental field or whatever. There's nobody like Joshua Scott or, like, Laura Baum who's like, oh, this is how you build a website company or, like, a marketing company. Or there's no blueprint. We have tons of blueprints. We have tons of help. It's like, I don't know.
The thing about everything you just said, like, to have all those resources, if you utilize just, like, a small fraction of them, right, like, that's how you start to lower your risk, right? You go to, you like, talk to all these people, right, and then you learn how to lower your risk. You talk to Michael about ground marketing. You learn how to lower your risk, right? Like, there's so many risks involved in running a business, and, you're right, Andy. It's like, if you there's a lot of resources out there, and each resource teaches you how to lower your risk, how to lower your break even point, how to bring more patients through the door, and how to retain those patients, how to convert those patients to referrals, right? Like, so, but that's the hard part. Like, that's a lot of work, and not everyone wants to do all that, right? So I think doing a startup isn't impossible, but it's definitely going to be a lot of work. Doing a dental startup isn't impossible, but it's going to be a lot of work. And doing a dental startup, you know, you could struggle for a long time and not default on your loan, right? Because you could be working somewhere else. So, but that's not everyone wants to do that either, you know. So I think in general, it's a lot of work doing a startup.
That's true.
That's the thing, though. People love to say, "Oh, I'm doing a startup." Because it sounds cool. That's like the cool thing now. I want to be an entrepreneur. But they don't want to put in the work. They don't want to put in the work. And they're like, dude, this is so hard. Like, I don't understand what I'm doing. Like, but they don't want to go listen to podcasts because they want to work from 8 to 1 and then work 3 days a week. And be for cheaper service. And, like, go have fun with your buddies in Burning Man.
And Burning Man.
Like, you gotta pick, like, you gotta, you know, I don't, like, I feel like some people don't even do their research. They dive right in and they're like, dude, I wasn't expecting this. I thought it was gonna be like I was gonna work 3 days a week like every other one talks about.
Yeah, I mean, Andy, we've talked about this a lot. I think there's a lot of ways to lower your risk, right? And you kind of have to pick and choose. It's kind of like the same thing as, like, buying dental cabinets. If you really want to, You're going to be spending more money, which is fine if that's what you want to splurge on, right? That's totally fine. Like, you get to make all of your decisions. You can buy the building. You can do all these things, you know? And that's the nice part about doing the startup. You get to create everything. You get to choose everything, right? You can choose to be fee for service. You can choose to not work after 5. But working after 5, you know, it'll help you with your patient flow, right? Because then there's less of a barrier for patients to come in. Taking PPOs lowers your risk because that's another barrier that that is not there. So, but it's whatever is important to you. I don't think there's a right or wrong way to do things. I think whatever you want to do, you know, it's your decision. So I don't think there's a right or wrong way of approaching things. So.
All right, guys. It's good. Did y'all feel like we left anything out?
Andy?
Oh, no, man. I can hear you guys. Yeah, I can hear you guys talk. Like, I should have just pushed record and y'all talk, man, because it's interesting the way y'all conversate.
It's funny because Hugh and I, like, met at Breakaway, but we kept in touch and talk more than we talk almost every day.
Yeah, like, we talk every day about something. We just ask each other random questions. Like, it's just, like, coding questions and, like, claims processing questions, random questions.
That's good, man. I feel like people need that. It's almost as if somebody should start, like, a Slack group or something. I don't know. And then we can all talk about it.
The thing is, like, the reason it works for both of us is because we're similar mindset. Like, imagine if I was trying to talk to somebody that was trying to do 3 days, 8 to 1, like, not putting work in. Like, that wouldn't work. They wouldn't understand what Hugh and I are doing. They don't understand why we're open on Saturdays. They don't understand why we didn't buy the ADIC chairs. Like, they're just like, but, like, I love it because it costs 30 grand and it feels nice. Like, it's cool. Like, it's fine if they made that choice. But then, to me, it's like, why are you complaining then is that you don't have money to buy marketing? Like, you don't have time to do X, Y, and Z when you could have technically used, like, 25 grand of that to pay someone to do something of your time or to buy something or, like, hire someone.
Yeah, that's true.
No right and wrong. Like, you're right. I just have a really strong mentality of, like, if you want to complain, like, look at all the other reasons why you shouldn't be complaining.
I think
or
that's
just
why
don't complain, period.
But I think that's why we need, like, people, like, someone else to talk to, like, point out, like, but someone honest, like, a real friend who's not just, like,
dude,
your cheerleader.
Are you serious? I got so much feedback on negativity because I was like, I wrote like some thread about, like, oh, it's not hard. You just, in a way, it's like, you dental is in this street is easy. You can just work. You make, like, literally what I just said about 10 minutes ago. But then people were like, no, dude, I don't have patience. I'm just sitting here paying my assistants and this is super hard and et cetera, et cetera. And I'm like, okay. If they couldn't take that comment, they wouldn't. I don't think they'll like me after talking to me for 5 minutes, being super blunt about what they should change or do.
That's why I think, like, you and me get along really well too, because I'm the type where I'm like, dude, if nobody's in your freaking practice, go out there and get somebody.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, don't just like wait there and be like, oh my god, I did a Facebook ad and that's it. No, it's like, get out there. But,
yeah, you have to be willing to hustle, right? You have to be willing to put yourself out there. Like, it's not easy, but
it's your life, man. That's it. It's your life, and you gotta work for it, dude. Like, every day.
Yeah.
Freaking Kevin Hart said, I think, like, the sun goes up every day, and you either are gonna hustle and do what you gotta do, or you're just gonna be like, oh my god, can't do anything, right? And complain about it. So
the cool thing is, like, it's okay if they don't want to hustle. They'll just
struggle for a little bit, and they'll be fine eventually. Eventually. You know what I mean? Like, that's the cool thing about being in a dental industry. They could temp and work at their office for the next, like, 10 years, and they'll still won't default.
That's true.
And that's to me, like, the fail rate. Like, if you ever default, that's the fail rate. But I don't know. I don't want to be average. I don't want to be normal.
Mm-hmm. Hey, really quick, Hugh, what time is your interview?
It's at 11.
Oh, okay. Wrap it up, guys. We're wrapping it up. All right. Hey, where can they find you, Hugh?
They can find me on Facebook. Just type in Black HIEUPHAM, or they can find me at my website, atlasdentalpdx.com. And then my Instagram, HIEUPHAM.DMD. But yeah, if anybody has any questions about anything, I always like love talking about dentistry and startups in general. Me and Andy talk about it every single day, like I said. So yeah.
Or is it Impulse, right?
Yes. If they really want to find the dancing videos, search B-Boy Impulse on YouTube.
B-Boy Impulse, guys. And then be like, oh my God, I heard him on the podcast. Andy, where can people find you?
They'll just find me on Slack.
They type in Andy, that's it? Oh, there he is. Nah, for real, man. Where can people find you?
Dude, I've been on your podcast for like too many times. I think they want to hear someone else, man.
You know how many new listeners we get? Like, people are like, who's this Andy Tran? So, talk to us, man.
They can find me on Facebook at Andy Tran, and they can email me at spam12345@gmail.com.
All right, guys.
Is my real email?
Is it really?
That out. Yeah, dude. Do you know how many like services that you go to a dental convention and they're like, oh, can you sign up? So I give them that email. And then you just spam one, and I know it's my spam email because it's literally spam 12345.
But what if
that's
people want
real email?
That is really.
Oh, yeah, dude, you can make us. Yeah, dude, like a math, dude. It's so easy. And then,
I love you, Andy. What the heck?
And then you can change it. Obviously, like, oh, if you want to use their service, be like, oh, I'm sorry, like, you can use my real email or like my other email. This is for like, this is the first gate. You know, like, you gotta pass through this gate before you get my real email.
Wow, man, you just gave me so many good ideas. Jeez. I love that, man. I love that. I'm going to be spam 12345 6. Okay, so. And then Hugh's going to be 7. Yeah. Dude, we got this. We got this, man. I'm going
to
start right now.
I'm about to create that, too.
Yeah. I was just going on Google right now. I'm like, I'm about to create this right now. Alrighty, guys, man. So this is not going to be the last time I'm going to have Hugh or Andy on the podcast. This is like a test. I'm like, can we get along? Yeah, we can. Okay, we're probably going to make our own podcast now and our own Facebook group. And I'm just kidding. But so, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Anything else y'all wanted to say before we sign out?
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us. I really appreciate it. I've always listened to The Dental Marketer, so I'm excited to just be a part of it. So,
oh, man. Thank you. You got my $10 through Venmo. I appreciate
yes!
that.
Yes.
No, all righty, guys. Thank you so much.
I wouldn't have done a startup without The Dental Marketer and Michael Arias to push me to do stuff. I wouldn't have gotten patience if I haven't gotten his course. Use the link below.
Oh, man. I still got to sign up.
Dude, I'm totally going to use that snippet and be like, guys, look at what the results people are. no, man. I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for being a part of the podcast, and we'll talk to you soon.